The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Two lines from our first reading today sum up very succinctly what it means for us to be Christians. From the Acts of the Apostles, we read, as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Stephen offers himself to God whole and entire for those around him. I'd like to look at this under one main aspect, namely, that Christian life is necessarily Eucharistic. This past Thursday, we celebrated Jesus' ascension into heaven. We saw that Jesus' departure does not mean that he lives in the outer confines of the universe. Rather, living in God's dimension of reality, Jesus is more immediately present to his people on earth. Jesus ascends into heaven so that he can send us his Spirit, so that he can animate his church. And what this all means, simply, is that the church makes God's love present in the world. Each of us and all of us are called to embody God's love, to receive his love in our hearts and put it into action in our lives. This happens definitively in the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we are not merely observers of our Lord's saving action. We participate in it, offering everything we have and everything we are to our Father through Christ and with him and in him. The whole of the Mass, everything we do in church, prepares us for this action. We are stirred by the movements of the Mass to offer our entire lives, our struggles and frustrations, our suffering and pain, our hopes and our joys, our friends and our enemies, to God, through and with and in Christ. Offering our lives to God in the perfect sacrifice of his Son, we are made to embody God's love in ever-increasing measure. Our challenge is that, living out God's love in the world, we find ourselves in opposition to sin and evil. And here we must follow our Lord's lead. Just as Jesus entrusts himself to his Father on the cross, begging forgiveness for those who persecuted him, just as Stephen turns his life over to Jesus, beseeching God's mercy for the bloodthirsty crowd, so do we hand ourselves over to God for the good of those around us. If we abandon ourselves to God in all of life's challenges, then love will win. But if we pull back to save our skin, sin and death will destroy us. And with this in mind, we need to follow the church's teachings so that the love of God can take shape in our lives. This means we need to give serious attention to every place we are tempted to say, I'm Catholic, but... because these are areas of our lives where we refuse to let God have his way. When we come up short, as we so often do, we have to remember that his mercy is no more than heartfelt repentance and a good confession away. As our sacrifice at Mass becomes a fuller and freer surrender of ourselves to God through and with and in his Son, our everyday life will become a more faithful expression of God's love for us and for the world. In this way, the Eucharist truly becomes the source and summit of our lives. Source, because we live our lives in Christ out of the Eucharist. Summit, because there is nothing higher that we can do than offer ourselves to the Father in union with his Son. St. Stephen, whose martyrdom we witness in today's first reading, as well as everyone in the early church, knew that there are no Christians without the Eucharist. There is no Christianity without communion. This is the great honor and dignity, and yes, duty, that each of us and all of us exercise here today and every Sunday, offering to God our lives here at the altar of his Son, we too become his witnesses to the world.